Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or call us at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope. We'll begin that again next week. Download the app from the Apple Store or from the Android Play Store and follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we're live on the air. Today we're going to continue our series on the book of John, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, give us a call at 347-857-1322. Or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and you can listen or chat with us online. Glory be to God. Welcome to the show today. We are going to continue our conversation in the book of John, and I believe that we left off. We're still in chapter 7. It's been kind of an interesting trip through this book of John to determine exactly what God has for us in this. And we are very, very excited about the path that he seems to be taking us down when it comes to John. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We know, Lord, that your word is seed that is sown into good ground that will return a 30, a 60, a 100, even a 1,000-fold return in this lifetime. And, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be faithful stewards of your word, so that we can study to show ourselves approved, workmen unashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, Father, as we present your word today, we ask you to bless it. We ask you to make it, again, seed that's sown into good ground, and we'll just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, last week, I believe we were somewhere around verse 40, so I want to start right there this week and see exactly what's going on here with the Holy Ghost. So in verse 40, this is, "Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard him saying, 'Truly, this is the prophet,' others say, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was?' So there was a division among the people because of him. Now, some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him." Now, I want to look at that just for a second right there and remind you that the Word of God did not come to unify. It came to divide. It came to divide, and that's Jesus. So Jesus came to separate light from dark, evil from good. And so, you know, we have a lot of Christians here today, especially with the things that are going on in our society today, that say that we're supposed to be good little Christians and not say anything, but just pray. Well, I think that's a load of garbage, because the Word does not indicate that that's what we are to do. We are to pray, but we're also to proclaim the gospel from the rooftops, and so that's what we need to make sure that we do. Also, we see here that there was great division amongst these folks, because they were looking, again, as we've said before, from the fleshly standpoint and not from the spirit standpoint about who Jesus was and where he came from. And their interpretation, or they believe that they have a revelation that God was going to send his son to set up a kingdom where they would have earthly rulers, was not at all what God had in mind. And so we know that in other places in the scripture it says that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Thank God for that, because otherwise we'd be a serious mess. But nevertheless, we know that these folks were a little bit confused. And then, of course, here's the other thing that comes out of this, is that they never believed that anybody that came out of where Jesus came from could ever be the king. Because, you know, according to their understanding, the king was supposed to come out of Galilee. And, of course, this is also indicative of, you know, when you finally have your, if you will, a Damascus Road experience where you're tuned in, turned on, and sold out for serving God, you'll find out real quick that your family and friends that you had may or may not believe exactly the way you believe. And that can be a source of division. And they'll look at you and say, well, there's no way that you can really be effective, or that you're telling the truth, because we know who you were. We know you from your beginning days. We knew all of your faults and all of your errors and the mistakes that you made. And we know all of that. And so we know that you could never change, because nobody ever changes. Well, that's the fallacy and the foolishness of wisdom from this earth. God is a God of restoration. He's a God of change. And unless you're willing to change, number one, change your mind, you're never, ever, ever going to get this thing right. So glory be to God. Don't be moved by what I call the committee called they, because they have no idea what they're talking about. And, you know, you just have to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he promises. His promise is that he will keep your path straight. So let's move on down here to verse 45, where he says, "Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, 'Why have you not brought him?' And the officers answered, 'No man ever spoke like this man.'" So they were intimidated. You know, when you start speaking the word of God with boldness and in truth, because you know that you're telling the truth, you always have to do it in love. But my wife said one day, Linda said, you know, that the closer that you get to God, the more arrogant you become. And it's not that you're really arrogant, but you're confident. You're confident. I mean, how can you believe and trust in the Lord if you're not confident in what his word says? Well, the only way you can do that is by becoming a student of the word, studying to show yourself approved, a workman unashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth, and persevering through all of the trials, all of the temptations, all of the trouble that is going to come your way. You have to push through that. You have to be bigger than that. You have to continue to move forward and let God guide your path. So these folks didn't want to grab a hold of him, because they'd never heard anybody speak like this before. Here's the thing you have to understand. In the Old Testament, you know, the Holy Spirit was there, but he was not manifest as he is today. And, of course, Jesus was on the scene, but he was not manifest. He had not come in the flesh. So when you read up to Malachi, at the end of Malachi, from there to Matthew, is 433 years, and that's what they call the Dark Ages, okay? That's where God never spoke to man until John the Baptist started crying out as one in the wilderness, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so in that time frame, these folks, the only thing they had to go on was their history. And in their history, you know, there was no real mention of Jesus other than in Genesis where, and of course Isaiah prophesied about Jesus. But these folks, that was a concept they really didn't understand. They didn't quite get it. And so when they hear somebody talk boldly like this with confidence, they questioned it because they were not used to it. The scribes and the Pharisees talked about God, but they really didn't know God. So glory be to God. So in verse 47, he says, "Then the Pharisees answered them, 'Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed.'" So they were telling them that because they were listening to this guy, that they had a problem, that they were accursed, that he was not telling the truth because what he said went against their Jewish law. And so they were experts in what they knew, and that's an issue that's prevalent today. We know what we know, but we don't know what we don't know, okay? And so that's why it's incumbent upon us to spend time in the presence of God, reading and studying the Word of God as we should, and meditating on this Word so that we can get the revelation that God has for us. Hallelujah. So then the Pharisees answered him and said, "Are you also deceived? Have any of your rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has ever arisen out of Galilee." Glory be to God. And then it says in verse 53, "And everyone went to his own house." So they kind of subsided at that point, and they left to go back to their own house, but they were still deceived. They still didn't quite understand exactly what was going on. There's what they call a familiar spirit, because they knew people that had come out of Galilee before, and they knew that nobody of any significance had ever come out of there. So how in the world could this happen now? And so that's kind of a lot like what we do today, because we have never experienced it before. You know, we deny it. We refuse to believe it. We challenge the Word of God at every juncture because we don't have faith. We don't trust. And we have to start believing the Word of God if we're ever going to be able to accomplish what God has called us to do. Okay, that ends chapter 7 in verse John. So we're going to go ahead and keep rolling right on into chapter 8. Let me turn the page here. And in John chapter 8, again, we're reading out of the New King James Version, and from time to time we'll make references to other versions, so glory be to God. All right, verse 1 says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?'" So here's what they were trying to do. They were trying to bait him. They were trying to set him up so that they could catch him in a lie. But of course, you know, Jesus is smarter than that, and so should you. You should be able, through the power of discernment, which is another gift that God gives to you as a spiritual gift, you'll be able to know when somebody's trying to mess with you, okay? And so this they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. "But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear." And verse 7 says, "So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again, he stooped down and went wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? And has no one condemned you?' And she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Glory be to God. Now, there are many parallels that we can draw out of this. I'm not going to elaborate too deeply on this, other than to say this. Be careful how you judge people, okay? Because this is a classic example of judging people based on their behavior. Now, everybody that's a sinner has bad behavior. Many Christians have bad behavior. But, you know, the behavior is really not the most important thing. In my new book entitled DWJD, Do What Jesus Did, in chapter 4, I go through the process of how the mind works. And when you look at that graph and you see that the thoughts come into the brain first, and then a picture is created, and then those pictures go against your frame of reference, and then based on your frame of reference, you know, you get all the way down to the end, and the last thing that's affected by that picture is your behavior. So when you look at somebody that's doing something wrong, you have to understand that that's a physical manifestation of a spiritual problem. There's something wrong there in their spirit walk or in their spirit realm. And so what they have to do is they have to, again, study to show themselves approved. They have to seek wise counsel. There's wisdom in many counsels, but you want to make sure that the counsel that you seek is wise. And so, therefore, when you look at this and you evaluate it, we have to be very, very careful about becoming very judgmental. I believe there's another place in the Bible that says, you know, that we need to pull the beam out of our eye before we pull the speck out of somebody else's. And so being a judgmental person is not a good. Now you always have to evaluate. Okay, there's a difference between judgment and evaluation. We have been called to be fruit inspectors. We are to check the fruit on the tree. We are to look and to see exactly what's being produced in a person's life, because that's going to tell you, again, what the spiritual condition of their life is. And so when we see people getting saved, we see participation in church, we see people that are growing and prospering in the Lord, then we know that there's something there that they're doing that is right. And so what we want to look at is how can we not be judgmental of other people, but how can we show them the light? Because the Bible calls us to be the light and the life unto men. If you go back to John chapter 1, he said he was the light and the life unto men. Well, we're supposed to emulate Jesus on the face of this earth. We are supposed to be his disciples. And so when he recruited his 12 disciples, and of course then they had 70, when he sent them out, that's exactly what they were. They were representing Jesus. They were representing the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. And so therefore they needed to not be judgmental, but they needed to just tell the truth in love. Now, when you operate in the kingdom of God, the currency of the kingdom of God is love. And when you operate in love, then a lot of good things are going to happen. But when you start being judgmental and start, you know, pointing out people's faults and the error of their ways, then that in and of itself can be a significant problem. I think we have a caller on the line here. Let me see if this is Pastor Godfrey Kasiri. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you, sir? I'm told I'm late.
I'm doing great. Well, you're on the late shift, but that's okay. We're moving right along here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much.
Amen. So we're actually finished up chapter 7, and we're in chapter 8, and we're talking about verses 1 through 1 through 12. This is where Jesus said to that with the woman that was caught in adultery. And so what I was telling them was that, you know, we have to be careful. We can check the fruit on the tree, but we have to be cautious of becoming judgmental. Because we become judgmental, then we're not really operating in the spirit realm. We're operating in the flesh. Would you like to add something to that, sir?
Yes, sir. And in fact, I remember we had kind of done a little bit on judgment with Linda, and I think you also with us. As we looked at John chapter 7 and verse 24, I remember you explained something also on that. I say, judge not according, John 7:24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteously. And as you're talking, I was also reminded of this other scripture where Jesus says, judge not so that you may not be judged. So with the measure that you give, it shall be measured back to you. That's a very important to know.
Yeah, amen. And because I heard somebody say one time that when you point one finger, you got four of them pointing back at you. So you
I like that. Yes.
You have to be very careful.
Yeah.
Now we are by no means advocating that people should live in a sinful lifestyle.
No.
Okay. We are saying that when we evaluate the situation and we find out that they are in that situation, then
right.
it's important for us to be able to show them the way out. Now, listen, we got a couple of callers on the line here. I think this is Linda. Let me see who this is. Linda,
right.
is that you? Are you on the
it's
line?
It's me. Hi.
Hey, how are you today?
Hi. Good being on the show.
Amen. Nice to hear from you.
Yes.
Did you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. We also have another caller. Let's see who this is. Hello. Who do we have on the line today?
How you doing, Prophet Clemens? This is Brother Mike.
Hey, how are you, sir? Who is this?
This is Brother Mike Vosburgh.
Michael Vosburgh. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good. I'm off today, and I caught the show, and as usual, I love listening to the Word of God. wonderful to hear you. And
amen. Well, we're in John chapter 8 right now, talking about judgment. Would you like to give us a little mini sermon on that real quick?
Well, you know, what I really get out of that, Dwayne, is the power that a lot of people miss, because the power in that is when Jesus told her that he does not condemn her either, go sin no more. And I think that's what we miss is encouragement to encourage one another that we're not condemned, but don't sin anymore. And I think that is the power that we're missing a lot of times, in that we look at the judgment as we should inspect the fruit. As you say, we're fruit inspectors. But we have to encourage them of who they are in Christ, to continue in who they are in Christ, and dust themselves up and be a member of the kingdom and move it forward.
Amen. Well, I agree with you, brother. And here's the thing that I think that the church has it wrong. I think that we spend a lot of time in the church talking about the behavior, which would be this, in this case, the adultery or the drinking or the smoking or the cussing or fornication or, you know, perversion or anything like that. We talk about that, but we never give people two things. Number one, we never give them three things. Number one, we never give them the reason why they should change. Number two,
right.
we
Amen.
Never show them how to change. And then number
Amen.
Three, we never give them time to change, okay?
Amen.
Because they did not start doing whatever it is that they're doing overnight. It was
That's
it
right.
was not a spur-of-the-moment thing. It was something that took time for them to develop. And so if you're really interested in being disciplers, and I think that's the key word right there, is that if we're really interested in discipling folk, then that's where we've got to get. We've got to get to the point where we explain to them. And this is, with all of this, and I'll certainly open up this for a brief conversation here in just a second, with all of this foolishness going on in the world right now, all the stuff that's happened here this past week, one of the things that the Lord showed me when I was praying about, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to do about this? I don't want to be reactive. I want to be proactive, okay? And so what he told me was exactly that. I need to continue and actually escalate the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to these folks that are lost in this dead and dying world, that are eat up with sin, that don't know any better, okay? I need to escalate my evangelistic and discipling measures so that instead of focusing on what the problem is, I can focus on what the solution is. Because, folks, I'm telling you, the Word of God is the solution for all of this stuff. You don't have to live as a homosexual. You don't have to live under the perversion of bestiality and all that kind of foolishness. You don't have to do that. And I can show you, according to the Word of God, how that works. Go ahead, Mike. You got something you want to add to that?
Well, you know, Brother Dwayne, you're right on point. I mean, I just confirm everything that you said there, you know. And I ministered a message the other day, just yesterday, and I was speaking of when you become not only ministering of the Word, but when you become the flame, when you become a fire, that all of a sudden you have the boldness, and the only thing that really likes fire is fire, and anything else will be consumed in it. And I think that's what we call when we're really on fire for God, and not really worrying about the instant reaction, but knowing that that seed is going to be an everlasting seed. And when a person gets on fire, then they'll start agreeing with the fire that's coming, you know. And
amen.
I believe that's what we really need. Not a condemning fire, but all consuming fire of the righteousness of God. And, you know, there is a difference. You know, some people look at fire as something that wants to, you know, burn something up. But as a Christian, we should love fire because it's going to burn anything up that doesn't align up with God. And I think that's what we, when we bring fire on ourselves and be an actual demonstration, and people see the change, and the change is coming because of the fire of God, then can people see that it is God working in you and not you working in you. And I think that's so important.
Pastor
God, I think that's important. The transparent Christian.
Yes. I like how Brother Mike has put it, that when you look at the fire, how it appears, or how the Lord appeared to the children of Israel in the wilderness, at night it was not only giving them heat, but it was giving them light. And the very verse that our phone that you're on, Jesus says, I am the light. And remember what it says, that we are the light. So these people might not even might, they are walking in darkness. They've not seen the light. So whatever they are doing, if light will expose this brother, I think that's where confession and repentance is going to come.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, one of the other things, too, I think when you go back up here into chapter 8, verse 4, it says, then they acknowledged him as teacher. And so I think that's kind of interesting, too. They recognized, they were confused about who he was, but they were not confused about the message. And I think, you know, a lot of people preach this particular passage of Scripture as these guys, you know, were just really arrogant, and they were rude, and they were just trying to catch him in a lie. Well, I think that's partially true, but let me just tell you this: a lot of times when people don't understand and they don't know what the truth is, that's how they act. So it's incumbent upon us to be patient enough to teach them what the truth is, to show them, and that's exactly what he did right here. He showed them by demonstration the error and the fallacy of their thought process, because he didn't say anything. All he did was kneel down and start drawing in the sand. He said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone.
That's right.
See, and they all looked at him like, oh, my God, what's that all about? This is crazy. So their own hearts convicted them because they had been exposed to the truth.
Yes.
So glory be to God. Well, as always, we never have enough time on this show, and I am seriously looking at how we can recruit some sponsors to help us carry this thing out to an hour, because there's just so much that we need to cover. But next week, next Tuesday, 10 o'clock, same time, same place, www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, we'll be here, and we'll continue with John chapter 8. So I want to thank all of my guests for being here today. Thank you for joining us, and we so appreciate everything you do. From now on, be blessed and let the Spirit reign.